Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago without a live studio audience. Yes, we're recording a little bit later than usual tonight on Sunday night, getting ready for your Monday Motivation. And it's a special edition of a Cyber Monday Motivation. We're going to talk a little bit about shopping today and money and the attitude of money in the Torah and of possessions. And it's going to be awesome. And it's actually going to be awesome. A lot of new information for people who even listened for a long time to Monday Motivation. I would like to thank Chaim and Liel Weil for sponsoring this episode, edition of Monday Motivation, and a dedication to Liel's grandmother of blessed memory, who recently died, who lived in Israel, was from the former Soviet Union, Shela Bat Michael. May these words of Torah be the Ilui Nishmasa. They will be an elevation for her soul. In general, what this means is that we've mentioned many times here that death is just the separation of the soul and the body. The soul is still alive, and very much aware, more aware than it's aware in this world. But there's one thing the soul cannot do in the next world, and that is mitzvot, that is commandments, that is these actions of goodness, using the physical world to elevate it to a higher level, which we're going to be talking about. That the soul can no longer do, but the children and grandchildren in this case can. And by dedicating this moment, these moments of Torah learning together, should be a tremendous elevation for Shela Bat Michael. I've heard a lot about her from Liel, a very, very special woman. These were people who the Soviet Union tried to extinguish their flame of Judaism and could not. And Baruch Hashem, thank God, she has wonderful descendants who are Torah faithful Jews. In fact, even took a year out of their lives to plug in, quote unquote, to real life, to learn Torah. And I am super proud of them, as we've said here before, and I want to thank them again for their dedication. All right. If you would like to dedicate an episode of Money Motivation, please let me know. All right. You can also go to project613.com/donate. And in the dropdown, there is an option for Monday Motivation Dedication. All right. So it is now really in the height of it all. We have been through Thanksgiving, of course, which is an afterthought. Black Friday, plus an entire weekend of various football games. Okay. And then now we are approaching, as you're listening to this podcast, Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday extends the shopping frenzy to another day, and you will find all the deals. You do not need to bust down the walls of Best Buy. You do not need to wait in line for the Cabbage Patch doll as they did when I was younger and literally trample each other. Who remembers that? I remember that. Do they still trample each other for stuff? Or I guess everything's online now. Not so sure. But either way, the shopping is the hunt. And I remember as a little kid, hearing about the shopping expeditions. By the way, the original theater I learned in my private preparatory high school was when the men were out for the hunt and they would come back and reenact it for the women. And that was how ancient theater got started. Well, I, as a child, I actually lived that on a, weekly basis. But my sisters would come back, and my mom, hi mom, and even my grandma, and they'd say, guess how much the original sticker price was on this dress. And I would have to guess some exorbitant amount of money. And then they went back. and it saw that it was 25% off. And then it was 50% off. And then you're not going to believe it. I'm like, no, it was 75%. No, it was 80% off when we bought it. And that was reenacting the hunt, as we called it, the great excitement of the hunt. And really the question is, and we're going to get to this, what is the thrill of shopping? What makes it, as we say in Yiddish, so geschmack? Geschmack is a great word. Monday Motivation listeners need to know the word geschmack. Geschmack is a Yiddish word that even if you don't know Yiddish or fluent like me, I don't know Yiddish, but there's certain words that are just geschmack. Geschmack is awesome. It's just awesome. So there's a certain thrill of shopping, a thrill of purchasing things. And what is that? And where does it come from? And guess what, folks? All the answers are in the Torah. So fasten your seatbelts for an exciting ride of money and wealth in the Torah. And believe it or not, a lot of it revolves around this week's Torah portion and the ones coming up. So you should know that all of our patriarchs and matriarchs, Avos and Imahos, were very wealthy for most of their lives. Avraham is described in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, as kaved me'od, meaning he was very heavy. He was weighted down with all the silver and gold that he had. Now, there was no Swiss bank accounts at the time. Whatever wealth you had, you were carrying it. And so he had servants and a whole staff and followers that went with him, and they literally helped him carry his stuff. Because he was very wealthy. That was a sign of success that Avraham was wealthy. Okay, Yitzhak later on in Genesis and Bereshis, chapter 26, verse 12, is said was blessed with Me'ah Sha'arim. You want to know where the neighborhood in Jerusalem is called? It's named after that verse in Genesis. 100 measures. Isaac, Yitzhak was blessed well beyond what was normally expected for that crop, for that year, and he was blessed with Me'ah Sha'arim. And the Torah goes at length to say that he was wealthy, and he was blessed. Okay, now, and so this was a key part of their mission to spread God's word. You know, some Nebuch who's going to come around, who's just blown, you know, pushed over, is a pushover and doesn't have any substance to himself, how in the world is he going to spread a message? So the fact that our patriarchs were wealthy has, it's a tool in their toolbox of serving the Almighty. We do not believe money is bad. We'll get to this more. Money is challenging, but money is not bad. If anything, money is a tremendous gift that needs to be used well. Now, let's get to Yaakov. And this is the Torah portions that we're in right now, Vayetze, etc. So Yaakov inherits all this money from Avraham Yitzhak. He is really wealthy. But when he is instructed by his parents, Yitzhak and Rivka, to leave the land of Israel, to go back to Padan Aram and go to his uncle Lavan, and find a wife among his household, which were going to be his two daughters, Leah and Rachel. When he was on his way to the old country, he was ambushed by Esav's son Eliphaz. His nephew. And Yaakov and Esav again had the big battle royal. And Esav was upset that Yaakov took the birthright, which is not for this podcast, and he ordered his son Eliphaz to kill Yaakov. Now, Eliphaz could not bring himself to kill his uncle Yaakov because he still knew his grandfather Yitzhak would never approve of such a thing, and he just couldn't bring himself to do it. So he said, "What should I do? My father gave me a command." Yaakov said, well, he could have just said, well, the command was evil, so don't do it. But listen to Yaakov's genius. He says, Eliphaz, take all of my money, because if you take all my money, we can fulfill the idea that ani chashuv kames, that a poor person is considered like they're dead. Okay, hold on. Fasten your seatbelts. Everything's going to be okay. But there's a statement in the rabbinic tradition that a poor person, other people as well, but a poor person is considered if he's dead. Now, this does not mean literally that he's dead, but what does it mean? It means that in a certain level, a poor person cannot impact the world the way that a wealthy person can. There's a certain impact that money can make, that someone with money can make, that someone without money cannot make. And therefore, money is this powerful tool to impact the world. And someone who has no money in a certain level is dead to the world because they cannot make a certain impact. Now, there are other types of spiritual impacts that could be made. But nevertheless, Yaakov ends up penniless. He ends up penniless. And so when he comes and comes to the well and he sees Rachel, his future wife, he starts crying. He starts crying. Why does he start crying? And one of the commentators, Rashi, says there, he brings this story down, is because he was broke. He didn't have any money for an engagement ring. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any money for gifts. He couldn't pay for any of the wedding. He was a deadbeat. Chas v'shalom, God forbid. But he cried because he did not have any money. So now, what happened? So we're going to get to that, the contract between Yaakov and Laban, a little bit. But so what happens? Let's show you another example of Jacob's attitude toward money. So in a couple weeks, we're going to have in Parshas Vayishlach that Yaakov and is fleeing with his four wives and 11 children over the Yabok River in the middle of the night. Okay? It's a lot going on. Why they had to go in the middle of the night and over the river and dangerous. Okay, so he, you know, with little children, you know, I don't know how the Duna stroller is going to get across the rocks and the river. Okay, but okay, so he's in the middle. And then all of a sudden they get to the other side and he says, oh no, whoops, I got to go back. There's some, what do you have to go back for? You left something important? We left one of the children there? No, I left some pachim katanim, some small jars. Excuse me? What? Jake, hello? You left some small jars? What, you're going to go back for that? And he says, yes, I have to go back for these small jars. The earthenware jars, this is not like some, you know, fine china over here. This is stuff that, you know, you can get at Walmart anytime you want. This is not a big shakes. So the commentators really dig deep. Why in the world would he go back for such small items and risk his life and everything going on? It's like ridiculous. So the answer is because Yaakov knew that if Hashem gave them to him, they must be part of his overall purpose. Money and possessions are a key tool in our toolbox, are divinely given and sanctioned and authorized and bequeathed toolbox to serve Hashem. And Yaakov could not let it go. He had to go back. He said, they must be an important part of what my mission is in this world. My Rosh Hashiva of many years, Rav Nota Shiller Shlita, she'd have a refuah shlema, full recovery. He says, he used to say about that everyone has, there's a mystical connection of one's possessions to a person. A person has a mystical connection to his possessions. He always said, that's why it's so hard to get big donations out of the donors, because they sense that there's this intense spiritual connection to their money. And therefore, that's why fundraising is sometimes very difficult. Okay, obviously, money now can complicate things, as we have now established that money is important. Money is not bad. We're not the Catholic Church. No, money is good. And I'll even share with you, money is called damim. It's called damim, blood. It's crazy. Why is it called damim? I had that question, and this following incident happened to me. This was years ago. Suri and I were in a certain period of time where we had not been paid in many, many months. It happens in the world, you know. This is why everyone should give to yeshivas, okay? But yeshiva hadn't paid in like 6 months, and we had a tremendous bill at the local store, and they were kind enough to let the bill run up until we got paid. And you're talking about a level of bone-crushing poverty that, honestly, this Marin County boy had never experienced. And we finally got paid. And I remember it was a stormy, rainy night in Jerusalem. And I remember almost running home because I wanted to show Suri the check that we got. And I came through the door and I undid my raincoat, and I said, "Dear, hear it. Hear it. Wait, wait." And I start panically looking through all my pockets. And, you know, in the winter, you have like 43 pockets, right? And Suri looks at me, and I look at her. She's like, "You don't have it?" She knew it was coming. And I said, "Wait." I put my jacket on. I ran back, retraced my steps all the way back through a rainy winter night of Jerusalem. And there I saw something on the ground by the garbage cans on Shimon HaTzadik Street, for those people who know it, right in front of Or Sameach. I saw a white envelope. What were the odds on a windy, rainy night? And I picked it up, and it was my check. And then I understood why money is called damim. It's called blood, because it's your lifeblood. Money is really, really powerful and really, really important. And boy, oh boy, were Suri and I happy when I actually brought back that check. Okay, so, but again, money, as you can sense where we're going to head, money is not everything. Rabbi Orlowick, in the vein of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, talks about what we need. What do we really need? Rav Orlowick says that, you know, if you get accustomed to a 17-course meal with violins, then if you have a 16-course meal without violins, then you're upset. If we set our bar of physical appetite so high that we need to buy everything in sight, then we will never, ever be satisfied. We will never, ever be able to satisfy that urge, that need, that thrill of the purchase. Will be a fleeting adrenaline high, but it will eventually leave us empty and needing to click even more. And you know what? It's very interesting. This idea is alluded to in this week's Torah portion. What a great day for Cyber Monday. Thank you, Hashem. So at the beginning of this week's Torah portion, we have Yaakov, who has the famous dream of the ladder. He leaves his parents' house and he gets robbed, okay? And then he has this amazing dream. This dream of the ladder connecting heaven and earth. And some commentators say that it's representative of Mount Sinai. And others talk about all the four kingdoms of the future exile, and or the direct relationship of God and the Jewish people, and these angels going up and down, and all this symbolism. Bottom line, it's a really holy dream. And what happens then at the end of the Torah portion, or close near to the end, after working as a shepherd for Lavan for 20 years, he has a second dream. And what was this dream? It was a dream of sheep, of speckled and spotted and ringed and different colors of sheep. And the commentators say, what is going on? And then in the same line, it says, Hashem says, I see what Lavan is doing to you. You need to leave. And so what's the connection? What's the connection? Why? Because he has this dream about sheep that at that point, Hashem tells him that you need to leave. And the commentators say an unbelievable thing. They say initially, when you left and you entered Lavan's house, you were dreaming about angels. You were connected to Hashem. You were in the spiritual realms. And after 20 years of being in Lavan's house, you're dreaming about the stock market. You're dreaming about your CDs, your futures, your stocks, your bonds, your sheep. That was their commodity. That was their wealth. At that point, when you're dreaming about your money, you need to go. It's time to leave this place. We need to leave this environment. And there are two more things I want to accomplish now really quickly. So as we're shopping now, as we're shopping on this Cyber Monday, a few questions we should ask ourselves. Do we really need it? Do we really need it? Are we giving our 10% of post-tax income to charity? Are we doing that, folks? Have we set up a separate account straight from payroll into a separate charity account, 10%. Again, this is after taxes. I've set it up. It's very easy. Call ADP. It's very easy, whatever your payroll people is. If you've done that and you're giving that tzedakah to Jewish causes, not the opera, not all these other things, to Jewish causes, okay, have a day. Enjoy your shopping, okay? But if you don't really need it, then maybe that money could go somewhere else. Maybe that money could feed a hungry Jewish child, buy some Hanukkah toys. Who knows where that money could go? And I'd like to finish with the following, because we Jews see money so differently from the non-Jews. You have to listen to this. Unbelievable. So we finish now with Giving Tuesday. And so what is Giving Tuesday? Giving Tuesday is this idea that now that I've indulged in all of this physicality, okay, now I get to feel good about myself and give money and do a good deed. And it's very much a non-Jewish approach. Now, I'm not saying not to give on Giving Tuesday, but I'm saying it's that my spiritual relationship to money is totally different from my physical relationship to money. And that is exactly not the approach. We see our use of money as a spiritual tool. When we're buying groceries, that is spiritual. When I'm buying things theoretically on Cyber Monday, on Black Friday, I'm buying those. That's an expression of God's money that he gave to me, and I'm expressing my values through the purchase. I'm not bifurcated in a totally physical world where I just indulge in physicality for 3 or 4 days. And then I have my light side, my spiritual side, and I give money to charity. No, our money is the greatest expression, or one of them, of our relationship with God, and every purchase that we make should be purposeful. And so, God willing, this Cyber Monday will give us an opportunity to be Cyber Monday motivated to become givers, to see money as a key tool in our toolbox of serving Hashem, that money can be a way to elevate ourselves and others. And so, may you purchase wisely. God bless. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful Cyber Monday. And God willing, we'll see you right back here again next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.